Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good morning. Good morning. 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing.
Test, test, test. 1, 3, 4. Test. Test.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua, Three Men and a Microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
What was the gentleman from West Point, his first name? His last name.
Said practice. Jimmy?
Was it Jim?
Yakianis.
Okay. Got it.
It starts with a D, but it's spelled... It's pronounced Yakianis.
Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Duro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been on? Welcome! Enlisted in officers, WMs and Devil Dogs. I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge. Fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hickory Mono Cigars. Here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is...
Welcome to Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone, and this is Corporal Tim Thornton, and I'm here today with Mike Yerger. He's one man on a mic, but the other fella on a mic is Tina Bloom.
Good morning, and
good
I'm
morning.
A lady.
What'd you guys think of, did you notice last week I introduced you?
I did.
I let both your voices on, and you said, you said hi, Tina Bloom, or
yeah,
good morning,
yeah.
And then Mike jumped in, and I went, just kidding.
Oh.
It's only me, and I'm all alone.
So and you did such a great job with last week's show. I was really impressed.
Did you like the news? Because I worked a little bit on that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I saw how expendable we were.
I know. It made us a little bit nervous. Thanks for having us back this morning, Tim.
It was exactly 16 minutes of me all alone. That's what it was. It was like, wow, Amari, I'm just going to keep going with this. But then I had Matt Martin on. And Anita Twitchell.
Yeah. Right.
And New York Warrior Alliance, which is a great charity.
Right.
So this week, as we always do, we want to bring you people in our community that are helping our community. And I have today from Colonial Voluntary Benefits. Is that right?
Yes.
Miss Katie Couric.
Yes.
Isn't there a famous general named Couric?
I'm not sure about a general. I mean, there's the news reporter, Katie Couric, but I promise it's spelled different.
Now, you're a veteran.
I am a veteran.
And tell us about what you're doing in town with Colonial Voluntary Benefits.
So I was a retail store manager for a number of years and finally decided that enough was enough. And I decided to branch off on my own and start my own business. So what I did was I became licensed in New York State to sell insurance. So I'm an independent insurance salesperson. But I've started my own office and contracted with Colonial Voluntary Benefits to help our community. Our office is actually going to be out of Henrietta. I'm still cutting through some red tape to get in there. We're really new, right after Labor Day is when I started. So I live here in Canandaigua. We've been kind of going back and forth between the Syracuse office and my home and making things work until then. I've got about 5 people on my team right now, and what we do is we reach out and we work business to business. We work with local employers trying to broaden their employee benefits package with supplementary insurance. So things like accident policies, life insurance, dental insurance, things of that nature, so that all of the gaps that health insurance are leaving and high deductibles, we're able to help bridge that gap with the programs that we have to offer. And it kind of puts the employees in a new light, or the employer in a new light for the employees. And it closes the communication gap, and it closes the money gap that health insurance is leaving basically everyone these days.
Right.
You know, that's what's was the big problem with the way health insurance has changed. In the beginning, I had employees. And right away, I wanted to help the good ones that wanted to stay with us. We always said, like, if you stay a year, then we'll help you with retirement money, and we'll help you with insurance. And we were able to do that at the beginning. And then since then, of course, it's gotten so far away and so expensive. Minimum wage goes up, so everybody else's wages go up. Mm-hmm. So is this now something that's becoming affordable for the medium to large business to be able to go back to providing benefits for their employees, or is this a great package for employees to buy their own insurance?
It's more, it helps both. So it's all payroll deducted, so the employee technically pays for it. So it's not costing the employer anything to bring these benefits for their employees. And what we do is any combination of benefits that they choose to sign up for, we try and keep it to 1 hour's pay per week in cost. So if they make $10 an hour, we don't want them paying more than $10 a week for any insurance benefit that they're getting through our company. That's so that they're not breaking the bank, but we're still able to help put money back into their pocket should an accident or an illness take them from the workplace.
Nice.
That's awesome. I want to go back to the fact that you started your own business, Katie. So I love seeing women in business and starting your own business coming out of retail. It's not like you had a business of your own prior to that. Does your military experience and being a veteran provide you with additional confidence or motivation and kind of you weren't afraid to take that leap?
Oh, absolutely. It was the scariest leap of my life, not going to lie. But it benefits so many other people other than just myself. So yes, it got me out of the retail environment working for somebody else. But it helps employers keep their employees, get new employees. It helps them provide a benefit that their employees can actually utilize these days. And so I love the fact that I can get up in the morning and all I'm doing is helping people all day.
So there are a lot of
parallels. It doesn't feel
there.
Like work at all. It's amazing.
Wow, that's great.
The fact that you offer dental is a big thing. A lot of people, when they're on that level where you're not quite covered by insurance and maybe the VA doesn't even offer a veteran dental, you've got dental, and dental's a big thing. And a lot of places say that. We don't have dental.
Yes, and we actually, that's our newest addition to the benefits that we offer is the dental. I think we've only had that a couple years now in Colonial's package. So we actually have 4 levels of dental, and then we also have an orthodontic rider as well as a vision rider, so that kind of helps broaden that package up a little bit as well. So.
That is a big deal. Growing up, my parents didn't even have dental insurance, so I remember when I'd have to go for cleanings and things like that, they would have to pay out of pocket, and it's super expensive. So.
It is. I mean, the average cleaning is about $100 out of pocket if you don't have insurance, so us being able to put some money back into your pocket and allowing you to get 2 per year is pretty awesome.
Wow, that is awesome.
That's huge. Now, are there any benefits to being a woman business owner and a veteran that the state provides you or locally? I mean, is there anything that kind of pushes you along and assists you in this venture?
Not really. I haven't really looked too far into it. I've kind of been on my own just trying to figure it out from the get-go. So hopefully I get some connections there and
sure.
And some people maybe reach out from after hearing this show and can help me out. That would be awesome. But really, it's kind of been Colonial's support and myself.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people should do that. If you're going to patronize a local business, make sure you're doing it, you know, for folks that have served us, like yourself, like a veteran. Mm-hmm. So look to you first if they're looking to do business in the insurance realm.
Yeah. Is there anything to the name colonial-paulrevere.com, the Paul Revere part?
Yes. So Colonial Voluntary Benefits outside of New York State is called Colonial Life. We actually originated out in Columbia, South Carolina. So in South Carolina, the basketball teams actually play out of Colonial Life Arena. That's our company.
Oh, wow.
Outside of New York State, we are Colonial Life. Inside New York State, we are Colonial Voluntary Benefits or Colonial Paul Revere, because New York State has all those extra laws and regulations in regards to insurance. Paul Revere actually had all of those contracts already, so we've partnered with them, and that's how we're able to actually work in New York State. Otherwise, there would be no shot. So our company has been around for about 75 years outside of New York State, but inside New York State, we've only been around for about 10. We don't have the big advertisements. We use word of mouth. So it's putting more money into the employees' pockets as we're selling the insurance. It's also putting more benefits into the benefit package. So, yes, there's other companies out there who do the same types of insurance, but their packages are not as full, and they cost anywhere from pennies to dollars more per week for the employee based on which package it is, simply because they're putting that money towards advertisement, and we're not.
That's really great. So how can people get a hold of you?
I have a cell phone number. It's 315-690-0214. It's directly to me. And if I'm not able to service at that particular moment, I have five other people on my team that I can actually refer you guys to. I don't want to put all their numbers out there. They weren't the ones who signed up for the radio show this morning. So we'll leave it at my number for now. Also, if you're looking to learn a little bit more about what exactly our benefits have, if you go to www.learningbenefitscenter.com, it actually has 90-second videos on each of our products so that you can see a visualization, quick 90-second presentation about what you're looking into. I'll give you a little bit more information about our particular products.
Very good. Thank you, Katie. Katie Kerlick from Colonial Dash. PaulRevere.com, disability, accident, life, hospital, indemnity, and dental.
Yes. Thanks, Katie, and thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you.
The Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York, your one-stop shop for all your family's Halloween needs. But can you get an outfit out of the costume Nazi? I don't think so. The spirit said, you got to give him a good reason. What could you be from an Army-Navy store? Drill instructor, ranger, marine commando, special ops operator, pilot, zombie, Amelia Earhart, bandito, the other guy, border guard, get it, tank girl, Jill Valentine, Resident Evil, sailor, flight suit, prisoner, Leatherface, Top Gun, Goose and Maverick, dead goose, yeah, I said that, post-apocalyptic family, big boss, Metal Gear, Dictator, we have the cigars for it. Gaier, Street Fighter, Iron Mike's, MX.com, The Military Exchange Talk Show on YouTube. See our Halloween video at The Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
Okay, welcome to Canandaigua 1310, and this is three men and a microphone and
a lady.
And we have still with us Katie Kerlick and Mike Garger from Canandaigua 2020 Facebook, and a new guest, Kent Fletcher, and he's going to do a little bit of news reporting from the Canandaigua Onion.
Right.
So, Mike, take it away.
Okay, so this is our Halloween edition.
Oh.
And we're bringing in some scary stories, I'll tell you that.
I like your Mr. Wilbur voice.
We're looking into the dark recesses of the city and trying to pull out all the great tales. And the first one was a very interesting one. The family of Sandy Guardiola will be speaking this Saturday at the National Action Network's House of Justice in Harlem.
Oh, boy.
Now, Sandy was the parole officer who was shot down at Pinnacle North back on October 4th. Okay, and this is the first time the family's going to be speaking, and they're going to be joined by the Reverend Al Sharpton.
That's scary.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. When I saw this last night, I was thinking to myself, why in the world do you always need to position things in that sense? And we don't have all the details yet. They released the officer's name, which I'm not going to say again. It doesn't change the story. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I'm really interested to see what they have to say. I'm not sure why a family or an individual can't make a statement on their own without bringing someone who's kind of going to stir the pot and I don't know. I'm not pleased about it, but we'll see what they have to say on Saturday.
Right. We got to kind of wait for the story to break.
Yeah, I wish they could, you know, speak for themselves, though, without being bolstered by someone like Mr. Sharpton, who we know kind of incites hate, in my opinion. Stay tuned, right?
Right. And I think a lot of people share your opinion.
Yeah.
Can I sum it up in one word?
Go ahead.
Money.
Yeah.
It'll be about money.
It always is, sadly.
Now it will be.
Yeah.
Or it'll be a political stance on, obviously, color, something.
Right.
This is what it's going to turn into. There's
wait
till
the lawsuits come out.
Yep.
It's gonna come.
Yeah, it's a litigious society, unfortunately. And someone who's trying to protect us and do their job, it always gets turned around. And, again, we don't have the details, but just the way it's being approached in the lead-up to it, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. All right, so now, Mr. Kent Fletcher from the Canandaigua Onion, do you have a news story for us today?
I do. You may have be aware that back in March of this year, Governor Cuomo saved Finger Lakes Racetrack by giving grants and tax liens and taking some of the money from the Del Largo Casino and filtering it back here. But that is only for 2 years. So after next year, they're back to trying to survive as racing has gone downhill, live racing, thoroughbred racing. So what the Finger Lakes Racetrack is looking into now is maybe even starting this year, as soon as this year, probably not until after, is they're looking at bringing in greyhound racing.
Oh, greyhounds.
That'd be fun to watch.
They're going to, you know, have the fake bunny go along and the dogs chase after it. And they'll start out with doing it on the dark days of when they're not racing the thoroughbreds. But if it catches on, which they hope it will, since it's not anywhere around the area, it's something unique, they're going to try to make it permanent. And they'll use all those big, huge barns they have back there behind the tracks to house dogs. And second part of that is they're also looking at, during the wintertime, doing sled dog racing.
Oh,
wow.
That's good.
Yeah. Have the track operating year-round. That
exactly.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Where's the next closest place we have to go to watch greyhound or dog sled racing? Does anybody know?
Really, Iditarod.
Right. Iditarod up in Alaska would be the closest.
It's a quick trip.
You know, Florida has greyhound
racing. Greyhound
racing,
right?
I've been to the greyhound track in Florida.
Have you?
Yeah. I want our dog Molly to run in that. That dog, I'm telling you, she digs deep, and they run as fast as I can. She's like a blur of pink and white when she runs by.
Yeah, I've seen her pink.
I swear that dog has got real speed.
There's got to be closer places in Florida, though, no?
No.
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think Florida is the only state in the United States currently has greyhound racing.
So do we think there's going to be any issue in recruiting folks that raise these dogs to bring them up and race them here? I mean, where are we going to find a good quality group of animals to actually run and people to breed these dogs? Any thoughts?
Well, I'm sure they'll probably, you know, maybe some of the less successful ones down in Florida will...
We'll get the secondhand dogs.
Oh, yeah, we'll come up here.
Okay.
Get some mixed breeding from one of the local shelters or
could
something
be,
like
yeah.
that.
Now, see, that's what I would think. You know, let's let all breeds... into these races, right? So we can have a pug race, right? Wouldn't that be exciting?
Chihuahuas.
I mean, come on. Right, the chihuahuas, you know?
Your chihuahuas.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Please.
I don't think
please.
The pugs could race that long, you know, with those little smashing faces. They'd start breathing hard.
Snorting their way along the track.
Especially in the dirt there. I don't know if they get, you know, get that foot
get
in there.
Traction.
Get the traction, right?
Oh, that's awesome. That's really neat. I hadn't thought about different ways that they could utilize the facilities there. That's neat.
Yeah. So what else you got, Mike?
Okay. So our next story talks about some blood-sucking vampires.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're talking about Pinnacle North again. Okay, they've come before the city asking for more tax breaks. Right, they already have a pilot agreement in place that gives them a reduction on their taxes. So they went into this project thinking, oh, our building's going to be worth about $10 million when it gets completed. Well, the city looked at that, the city assessor, and he says, well, no, actually that building's worth closer to $16
million. Yeah, $16.8
million. Right? So the city faced a lawsuit from the Pinnacle North principal owners wanting to have their assessment lowered. So the city sat down with them and said, okay, let's see what we can work out. And their assessment got lowered to $12 million, right? $4 million off, which is a 25% decrease, right? But that wasn't enough. No, these vampires are coming back, and they're saying, give me more. Now, what they want to do is they're asking for assessment stabilization. Now, what's that, you ask? Assessment stabilization.
What is it, Mike? Tell us.
Okay, so what they're saying is, we have this agreement in place for 25 years. And over the course of this 25 years, we don't want our assessment to go up more than 1% every year for this 25-year period, right? So you and I, we get reassessed every 3 years, right? And we have no control over how much our assessment either goes up or goes down. You know, in a bad economy, it may go down. But when the economy is humming along like it is right now, we can see some pretty significant increases in our property taxes based on new assessments, right? So I have a commercial building down in Canandaigua. Over the last 3 years, my assessment went up 30%. 30%, yeah.
Not 1%.
No, not 1%. 30% in over a three-year period. That's 10% a year, right?
Right.
So, you know, it'd be nice if I could have some assessment stabilization. And these vampires are saying, hey, our banks are requiring us to have this. Okay? Now, Tim, you have a mortgage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does your bank say to you, oh, we want you to have your assessment so it's not going to go up more than 1% a year?
No.
No. And I've had numerous mortgages. I've never had a bank say to me, oh, your assessment has to be stabilized or we can't loan to you. You know, so this is a bunch of BS.
It's poor business planning, in my opinion. So when you're looking to make money on something, they're renting and leasing these units, don't you think ahead of time and think, okay, the assessment might go up or the land might be assessed a little more valuable than what we had originally anticipated. Let's plan for that.
Right.
This seems irresponsible.
You're darn right it is. And they're blaming the banks. And I think the truth behind the matter is that Robert Morgan is under investigation by the FBI. He's one of the owners of this project, okay? And if I were a bank, I would think twice about lending this company money when one of the principal owners is under investigation by the FBI, right? So I think that's having more of an impact on their ability to borrow money than anything else.
I wasn't aware of that. So November 2nd is the meeting of the City Council Finance and Budget Committee, and that's who this goes to next for further discussion, right, Mike?
Well, I don't know that it's going to get there, because at the Finance Committee meeting, the Corporate Council suggested they go back to the drawing board and ask for or explore other options. Because it looked like nobody on the Finance Committee was going to put this one through last
night. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I was concerned about that, so I'm glad.
Yeah.
Now, there is something to be said, though. In favor, they're willing to pay taxes. And a lot of these businesses show up and they go, look, we'll put a business here, but we want a reduction in this and we want no taxes for so many years, and then we'll talk about
revised payment in lieu of taxes, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, 1% a year... You know, it sounds like a great idea for them.
For them, yeah.
But at least they are paying, you know. And did a grant help build Pinnacle North?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Lots of grants. Okay. They had the brownfield to deal with down there, right?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So they had a $5 million grant to help with that brownfield. Those were some type of tax credits that they're able to sell off to investors. Okay?
I asked a gentleman that was in the store, and I always say this, the people that come in here are so good, they're so intelligent, and I get all manners of levels of economics. I mean, so this guy is super intelligent. He's an advisor to major corporations worldwide, right? And he wanted to get a Halloween costume. That's how I get to meet a guy like that. And I said, what is up with all the grants? I mean, everybody's reaching out and grabbing a grant. Well, where's that coming from? Well, there's $500 million dedicated to the Finger Lakes region. And that's what all this, now, because I know people in my personal life that are getting grants.
Yeah.
So that's why. Just a little bit, because I remember Armin when he did the NOS.
Right.
Right, you know, not our money. He
right.
said, well, where is all this money coming from? Well, there's $500 million dedicated to the Finger Lakes because Andy Cuomo wants to look like a hero to us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it might be federal, too. But I'm confused on that part. But it is part of that, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. We want to get to the upstate guy and show him that, you know, downstate cares.
Right.
Well, what happened to true capitalism, too, though? I mean, I'm all in favor of grants to get small businesses started and things, but for huge ventures like this, if we were to take those billions and billions of dollars and put it towards, you know, property taxes or the debt we have in the state or on a federal level, could that reduce overall taxes and increase services in the long run? I just hate that you have to give away money. You have to spend so much money every year, and, you know, the end of the year, there's this rush. Okay, we have so many left over. Let's spend this money. It just seems ridiculous.
It does. It's not a good way to run government.
Not at all.
I do that. I spend all my money before the end of the year.
Do you?
Well, I mean, maybe not all of it, but whatever's left in the bank at the end of the year, that's what you got to pay taxes on.
Right.
So yeah. If you got bills or you want inventory, which is kind of a different column, you spend the money.
Sure.
And, you know, and of course, in corporate, or not corporate America as much as government, if you don't spend this, say, $50,000, well, then next year, we're only going to give you $45,000.
Yeah.
So you're going to spend the $50,000, so next year you get $55,000.
But that's also on money you've earned, Tim. You know, this isn't money that was just handed to you, you know, by some grant or...
Oh, right. It's my money.
Yeah.
Yeah, no grants here. Well, I got a couple grants in my pocket.
Ulysses S. Grant, right?
I'd like to emancipate him, so.
I'm really good at that if you need help.
Okay, so the next story I brought in actually has to deal with our guest, Kent Fletcher.
Oh,
right?
I was so close to surprising you.
So I'm still surprised.
Kent is this budding satirist who has been posting on Canandaigua 2020, and his most recent story is about stick pony racing down at the Greater Canandaigua Civic Center. And you want to share with us some details on that?
Well, what it was is that the Greater Canandaigua Civic Center is going to host the first ever national sporting event, and that happens to be stick pony racing. And what it is it's everything that you would do on a horse, dressage, show jumping, showmanship, even Western, like running around barrels.
Right, barrel
things
racing.
Like that, with a stick with a horse head between your legs. So in other words, you're just running around doing these things, and you're in the full dress and everything else.
Is this
and it
for
is
you?
An actual sport.
Wow.
He's a satirist.
However,
right?
It's not coming to Canandaigua. It's just something I put out there.
From his great imagination. I'm telling you, this guy is golden. He really... Now, you've shared, three stories so far.
And I've got more on the actual page.
We right? can't wait. I'm telling you, this stuff is golden.
And I actually one on, I think, this morning.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
I haven't caught that one yet. I'll have to go and check.
Ken is the publisher and the owner of Facebook Canandaigua Onion.
Right.
So if you're familiar with The Onion, The Onion's a fake news.
Right.
And I happened to be, how it all started is I was at work going through my Facebook, and even like Canandaigua 2020, there was just so much negativity, people complaining about this or that.
Oh, it's not all the 2020.
And even,
2021, 2020, 20/20.
Yeah. Even on my regular Facebook feeds. You know, I was a fan of George Takei, or George Takei, however you want to pronounce his last name. And I loved his articles. He used to have a lot of humorous things like that, but now it's all turned political and things like that. And it just, it used to be, you know, 10% of that stuff and 90% fun articles. And now it's more 90%, you know, bashing and everything else, and then 10% of the fun articles. So I was going through that and a lot of my Facebook pages, and I just started getting rid of everything because I'm like, I'm sick of just, you know, I want to go through Facebook and have some fun, you know, see what's up, you know. So I sat down at work, and I just started writing up these articles. And the first article I wrote up, which is the one that's still got legs, I'm sure probably 10% of the people now in Canada will think it's real, is the DEA claiming that the birdcage is a federal sanctuary now because of the McDonald seagull, which is a non-migrating seagull that survives on McDonald's French fries and fast food.
Mm.
And
a much shorter lifespan for those birds.
That might be a seagull.
And I posted that. Well, I didn't actually. I made the page, and I wrote like three different articles, but I didn't put it out there to anybody. I just had it. Well, one of my coworkers just got Facebook. He just upped himself to the 20s.
He was on MySpace up until.
Yeah, he didn't even have that. You know? He just got a smartphone last year, and somehow my post must have popped up on his Facebook, and he shared it. And I had, like I said, I hadn't put it out there yet, so I wasn't really. But I saw it on his post, and all of a sudden it just exploded from there. Everybody was sharing it. Everybody was reading it. It's got over 3,000 reads now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And,
my wife already saw some of your posts. We were talking about it. And I go, where are you seeing them? She goes, they're sharing them. It's showing up in my newsfeed. And I don't know if this makes sense on Facebook, but it's up in Rochester. She's not getting them from me. I didn't share them. You know, I've been appreciating them. I watched that the one with the balloon, right? And what was your, what was the story on the air balloon?
I don't think I did that.
No.
That's not me.
No.
It wasn't me.
His other story had something to do with FLCC?
Yes.
Right?
A grant. The government gave a grant to FLCC to determine if bears really do poop in the woods.
That was you, Kathy? Oh, my that gosh, I saw that. I had no idea.
You, this guy is a comic genius.
We are sitting here with a celebrity, you guys.
Darn right.
That's hilarious.
So
darn right.
I did it more to see what the reaction would be. I do have the disclaimer out there. If they actually click on the Canandaigua Onion, they'll see that I post right there. It's all fake news. But I'm just... Some of the comments I read, you know, a lot of people are taking this for real. And I'm not responding back to them.
Which happens
I'm not
with
say,
a lot with the
onion, real onion,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this is what makes it really golden, because you can see
people
are tripped up by this. And they think, wow, really? We're giving, what was the amount, $20,000
yeah.
or something like this for a study
right.
to find out if bears are crapping in the woods?
Well, and not only that, so you don't just put the story up, but you've got graphics.
Yeah,
and
pictures,
I think it looks
yeah.
real.
Yeah.
yeah, good for
yeah.
you. So you have to be a discerning viewer or a listener or however you're getting this
well,
news.
Well, I try to put subtle clues in there to make them obviously fake.
Right,
like,
right.
Like the DEC one, the name is Chandelier, like Chandelier.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I thought that would, you know, get some people suspicious when they see that.
Right.
I like that. You're putting a lot of, you know what, that's the stuff that I like.
Right.
You know, when you put
right.
a little bit more into it, like you said, the words or the name right. of the person,
well,
to
the
give
one
you kind of a clue.
The one with the that nobody's picked up on in the, government grant to the FLCC one, as I said, it was going to go on for the next 6 months. Now, bears, of course, are hibernating in the winter, so.
I like that.
And he also, with the stick pony one, he was talking about how the person organizing it was, I need a help.
Yeah.
Right?
And
the production company was Bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bizarre.
Oh, boy.
Very good, Ken.
So I try to give these subtle hints.
Well, you know, it's great. You're here in Canandaigua doing it about Canandaigua
right.
news.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
I mean, that's what's amazing. You could have done national and, you know, and everybody would, you know, would appreciate it, I'm sure. But then again, you know, I think you're a little bit like us. You know, you're like a kindred spirit about local news. We need stuff about us here, and we're just as interesting, just as funny. And, you know, national stuff's great. We can all speculate about that, but who's talking about our stuff?
Right.
You
right.
are.
Right.
And Mike is.
Right. Which is why I found it interesting with that DEC one with the over 3,000 reads. It's like, oh, my gosh, how many people think of this real? And now,
oh, I think you're going to get bigger than that.
So. Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
I'm questioning everything I've read on Facebook.
Well, that was the other point. That's the other point. Is I want to be like, you can't believe everything you see on the Internet because a lot of people
right.
You mean your girlfriend's not from France?
That's
great.
Oh, boy.
You make beautiful pictures that come with your wallet.
Yeah.
And you just, yeah, that's her voice. That
that's my kids. That's my wife.
Now, Kent, how do we follow you on Facebook, or how do we find the Canandaigua Onion? What's the easiest way?
Just look up Canandaigua Onion, and you can just like the page. Or
is it a Facebook page, or
yeah,
is it a website?
It's a Facebook page.
Perfect.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not very computer savvy to make a page or anything like that. So.
Don't need to be. That's great.
Just got my smartphone.
You're doing great work, and I hope you keep it up because I'm really enjoying this stuff.
Definitely.
I was gonna post on your site if you thought I was trolling your site because I didn't want to be taking it over, making it not news because everybody would see these fake posts.
I understand and appreciate great humor, and I'm telling you, Kent, you are nailing it.
I am glad you. I knew you would, but I wanted to surprise you with this.
Yeah, it was a wonderful surprise.
Very good.
So obviously the story about Finger Lakes Racetrack going to Greyhound Racing is not true.
Oh, obviously.
I have a dog. I was ready to do
it. I fell for it. Did you guys know this?
I would have told
you.
No, I knew this. We know Kent.
Oh, I feel ambushed. That's awful. I'm really like, seriously, they're going to do this?
But you were considering
a stick pony. Isn't that a great idea, though?
Easy, Tim.
The stick pony one, I already got people like, oh, I'm going to buy tickets. And I was like, okay, well, I guess they're going to be calling them and going to be finding out that it's not ready.
There's a money-making opportunity on the back end of this, Ken.
That's right. So you're going to appreciate this next story we have coming up. We call it the Golisano Geese.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Right?
Now, that's almost sure like you made that one up.
Right. Who can believe this? Right? We have this billionaire, right? One of the richest men, probably the richest man in our area. And he says, I'm holding back my tax payments to the school district. Why is he doing this? Well, he's doing it because he's got geese pooping on his property.
There's a lot of poop talk this morning, you guys. I'm getting a little uncomfortable.
Well, I'm sorry. But come on, let's get real here. If he doesn't want to have geese on his property, there's all kinds of measures that he can take to get rid of them, right? When I played frisbee golf over here at, what do you call it, Poop Park?
Goose Poop Park.
Goose Poop Park.
Blue Heron
right,
Park.
Right, Blue Heron is the other name it goes by.
The other name, right?
That's what the sign says.
There's a cornfield down the way or some type of field, and all the time when I'm in the park, I hear these gunshots going off. Well, those gunshots aren't real gunshots. It's some type of a speaker that blows off this thing at random times to keep the geese and other animals out of the fields.
Oh.
Yeah. You thought somebody was over there shooting, didn't you?
I kept ducking. I kept getting around every time I was walking through there.
I'm pretty sure I got a hole in my frisbee. Are you sure?
So that's one option, right? Another option is to have hunting dogs. Put them out there on the property. Let them run around and scare the geese away. That'll work. Another suggestion that came in was, hey, let's change up the landscaping a little bit. If you put in some taller grasses that predators could hide in, the geese aren't going to want to land there. But no, he's got a wide open 850 feet of prime Canandaigua lakefront with beautiful lawns that he wants to be able to walk on without having to step in goose crap.
So he's holding that money back from our school district?
Well, no, this is actually the Naples School District because his property is located in South Bristol.
Oh, I see.
So he pays over $132,000 a year in combined school and town taxes in that area because he owns more than one parcel there. So there's a significant amount of tax revenue being lost by withholding. And I believe Mr. Golisano said he's withholding this because he feels it's not his responsibility if he takes care of it in the short term. So, Mike, you were talking about hunting dogs or planting different foliage on the property. He's saying if the town doesn't take care of it because there are nests, apparently geese nests, on the lake, and if they allow those to proliferate or stay there, the geese are just going to keep coming back. So he's looking to the town or government to do something about those nests on the lake.
Okay, but then what about the rest of us that have problems with deer who come in and eat food out of our gardens, right?
Right.
And we want the state to take care of that, too?
Didn't right. Mr. Golisano move something to avoid taxes, like property or residency, so many years ago?
Yeah, I think you're referring to his Menden and Fisher's property. So his Menden property was assessed at $6 million. He got that reduced to $1.9 million. Recently, he and his legal team, I think, are pros at reducing assessments. So this may be why they're going at this in such a manner, kind of the whole goose thing. But yeah, there was and that was years ago, Tim. I don't remember the details, but
I don't think he even ever lived there either, did he?
I think that's his primary residence now. Oh, yeah, down now. In Fisher's / Menden.
Right.
In that
I know when he first built it, it wasn't.
Right.
I mean, he
right.
was never there.
Right.
And his
You know what though. I mean, you
how much time does he really spend in the South Bristol house?
Great question. Yeah, I'm not sure. I've been down there. It's a beautiful property. I know other folks that live down there, too. I don't know if they've had issues with the geese. So right, wrong, or indifferent, that's how he's approaching it.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing, but I bet you could almost change the pattern of the geese wanting to land on his property with those simple tricks or, you know, allowing hunters to show up. You know, anything. But, hey, he's a millionaire, right?
Billionaire.
Billionaire.
Billionaire
yeah.
who put up a great hospital for the kids.
Right.
And if he wants to be a little eccentric every now and then, well, I guess okay. You know, because we appreciate what you do for our community.
Well, not only that, but in the end, I believe he's going to end up paying that school district even more than he would have had he not withheld the taxes. Because there's interest payments to get added onto this. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to allow his property to be foreclosed upon, you know, or have liens put on his property. So, you know, he'll end up paying it in the end, you know, and the amount that he pays will actually be greater than the amount that the school district would have received otherwise.
That's a good point.
So
I say special hunting permit, use permit, hunt the geese, feed them to the homeless, problem solved.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you eat goose
or,
meat?
Kind of killing two birds with one stone, Tim?
Oh, my goodness. Easy. Too early.
I do have a solution. Camo netting. We sell camo netting. And now, it may seem crazy, but there is already another guy in this area who's got lots of money, or at least good money.
Okay.
And he takes his entire backyard and has it completely covered in camo netting. And I believe it's a rolling system. So it rolls back up.
Okay.
I know he's bought the netting from us and how else he did it. He showed me pictures. So when he wants shade, but he doesn't want trees, he doesn't want leaves and all that stuff, they roll out the netting from the house over the deck.
Like
over
an awning.
The whole backyard. They make it into one huge shady place.
Wow.
So put
Pretty
this
creative.
Up. Put this up and you won't have to, the goose probably won't even come near you.
That's right. Have Mr. Golisano check out Pinterest. I'm sure lots of different ways to get rid of those geese.
I'll be happy if he wants to pay me, you know, a good salary. I'll just walk around his backyard and just chase them all away.
Just kind of running around Golisano's
all day long. I'll walk it back and forth, just shooting
walk
geese.
Around, duck, duck, goose,
yeah.
Duck, duck, goose.
As long as he's paying me, you know, I'll.
Hashtag first world problem.
That's
there
right.
you go.
That's
a great way to end that segment. Okay, so our next story has a hair-raising tale about somebody who had their Volvo stolen from here in Canandaigua, Maxine Appleby. On this past Thursday, her Volvo was stolen with her two dogs in the back seat. And the Canandaigua Police Department pursued the vehicle. They were added to by the Ontario County Sheriff's, the State Police, and Monroe County Sheriff's. And the reason Monroe County Sheriff's got involved is this Volvo was driven up 332 to the thruway and then went on to 490. And when it was on 490, it got into a crash.
Oh, with the dogs in it?
With the dogs in it. And the dogs, the last I heard, were okay. But the driver of the vehicle was doing over 100 miles an hour at different times. And apparently after the crash, the driver of the vehicle tried to run into the woods to escape, and the dogs were chasing him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How did
the
I
dogs
hear
from
about
the car.
This?
The dogs from the car were chasing after him, yes.
And he slipped on bear poop, and then they caught
him. Well, Who knows?
Well, I heard the end of it. It was slipped.
So, this is a real story, right, guys? I can comment on this.
This
you're not
is
leading
a
me
real
down some
story.
Other trail. Right. Like, I'm terrified
see,
at this point.
I don't know which is real.
I really
right.
don't.
Right.
No. So, what made it easy to steal this woman's car? And forgive my ignorance. Did she leave the car on because the dogs were in there, so the keys were in the ignition?
I don't know those details
okay.
yet. This just happened yesterday.
Why steal
yesterday?
The car, other than he was probably running from another crime or something?
Yeah.
Because
a Volvo, I mean, it's a good car.
I was just going to
yeah.
say, but why a Volvo?
Is it really
yeah.
that car that you...
Right, right. If I'm going to steal one, it might not be a Volvo.
The dogs chased it. Oh, I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I hope my dog bites an ear off.
Oh, wow. I'm going to stay on your good side.
Well, I don't. I'll tell you, I'm like these other crazy people in the world. I like my dog more than most people, so.
No, I love animals. I miss having a dog, so.
You know, I mean, that story could have only been worse if there was a baby in the backseat.
That's true.
Or kids.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's just
right.
the only way it could be worse than someone stealing, running off, and then she's stuck going. Her concern isn't the car. Insurance
right.
is
right.
not that.
Right, right.
Or the law enforcement has to chase a maniac like that at 100 miles an hour.
Right.
Did she get her dogs back?
I'm assuming that she did, but
okay.
again, this story is so new that we don't have all the details yet.
Okay. Well, after that good running performance, they're over there at the racetrack right now.
Oh, gosh. Guys, I can't believe I fed into that. I took the bait.
This is right up my alley. I love this kind of stuff. This is more fun to me than real life.
Oh, boy.
Just
that's
keep
what
adding
I enjoy.
In.
It's just the people responding that think it's real and, you know, the ones going off about the grant to the CCFL or FLCC.
Well, you know, the mm-hmm. best thing is if they start calling, like, you
yeah.
know, the governor's office and saying, hey, you know, I don't, and then they have to look this up. There's some poor legal clerk that's going, I don't know about that grant, sir. Let me go check. You know, and then he's in trouble trying to figure it out and comes to come back and go, I can't find it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is that's the best kind of messing with people you can do.
Yeah. So our next story is from the heart. Patricia Page of Pampered Parents. Now, let me hear you say that five times fast. Mm. Patty Page of Pampered Parents opened a food pantry on Thursdays from 10 to 2 at 15 Coy Street here in Canandaigua, right? So we've seen Jeff Marinelli. He put up this blessings box in honor of his son, Noah,
mm-hmm.
right? But now this person here has opened a pantry at 15 Coy Street, only on Thursday afternoons. So once a week, people can come in and get some groceries, pick up some groceries if they need them at no charge, things like that, right? And that's a great thing, okay? I don't want to take anything away from this person or anything like that. However, Canandaigua already has food pantries, right? Canandaigua already has meal programs where we feed the people who are hungry, things of this nature. So I'm not sure how much duplication of services we need to have.
Do we know if we're not able to keep up with the need in the community? Or
yeah, I don't know that.
And it's self-funded, right?
Yeah, it's funded through donations, right?
Well, that was the way America was run to begin with. The church stepped in and
right.
helped the neighbors. The
right.
neighbors helped the other neighbors.
Right.
Right. Corporations used to perform great works. You know, like Kodak guy.
Right.
Right? I mean, what's his name?
Eastman? George Eastman?
George Eastman. He was doing great things for the neighborhood with his money that he profited from, giving it back to the community. Then somehow this all turned around till they take all our tax dollars, and then the only way you're going to get great things for the community is through our tax dollars and then back out again through non-for-profits and I don't know, or somehow crazy way. But this is the old way.
Right. I think when government took over charity, that was the biggest mistake. Right? I think our religious institutions were doing a fantastic job.
That's right.
And they knew who needed those resources.
Right.
The government doesn't. And that's why you have so much theft out of the government program.
Oh, how much waste do you think?
Yeah. Waste,
right.
fraud, and abuse.
And you're paying government workers to oversee these programs. And those salaries were never a part of the equation when it was... You know, not-for-profits and churches running them.
That's right. That's right. Our next story has to do with Heather Manns. She's a 7th-grade English teacher, and she's looking for donations of flexible seating for her classroom. So this seems to be a new trend in the education field where these teachers have a whole bunch of students who are all sitting in identical desks, and not every desk is suitable to each student, right? So they want to have couches in there. They want to have bouncy, what are those, balls
like
that you
balls?
Sit on,
yeah.
Yoga balls, things like that, so that kids have a different type of learning environment where hopefully they'll be able to learn better.
Is it distracting, or does that make them learn better? I don't know that I didn't learn as well as I could have because of the seat I was sitting in when I was in school. I don't know.
You know what I see right here? I see fat kids. Oh, okay, Tim's a little chubby, which I was when I was a kid, but I could still fit in the school desk, you know. But, oh, go ahead, chubby Timmy, and go sit on the couch. Or lazy Timmy, who doesn't really want to sit straight up, but he wants the couch. And then he wants the bouncy ball. And then next thing you know, when that kid gets older, well, you know, I can work for you, but, you know, I kind of grew up on a bouncy ball. You know, and do you have a couch and some Starbucks? And, you know, and that's how I create. That's what, and there's no conformity. There's no unity. There's no discipline. There's no attention to detail. And you take all of that away, and you can decide if that's what you want. But I say that kid only conforms to himself.
I agree.
And not to helping and being productive in society. So, sure. Have all the flexi ball. I really thought it was a matter of I have 10 kids, and then next week or next hour I have 50 kids in my class. So let's have some blow up furniture.
Sure.
So, no, it's not that at all.
No. No, but you're dealing with kids with special needs, right?
Is this a special needs classroom?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
Right? I think it's just a standard English classroom, right? But not every kid in there is going to. There's going to be some children in there who are going to have special needs. And so the school districts do their best to cater to those special needs. And some kids have a hard time just sitting still at a desk.
Right, but that's special needs. So we're not separating special needs anymore?
No, well, we do for some programs, but we also try to integrate them into the group,
so
right?
So it's a bigger issue, yeah.
Right.
Special needs is important, and I mean, if you can get those kids into society through any means necessary, that's great.
Certainly.
Absolutely. I'm all for that. But what about the kid who's not special needs? You know, and what about bullies and stuff like that? You got the couch today? I want the couch. That's my spot. I don't know. I don't. You almost need like a school psychologist to come in and really explain the psychology behind this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But like I said, this is a recent trend in the education field, and I don't know how well it's working or not.
And is this just a feel-good thing because we're doing something differently? It makes us, you know, look like we're ahead of the curve when it comes to education.
Maybe we're cutting edge.
Perhaps.
You know? I don't know. But we'll see. So, Tina, quickly. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Don't cry. We'll be coming right back.
Stepped right into it again.
Welcome back to Canandaigua 1310, three men and a microphone, and...
a lady.
I think we finally got it. That's the way to do it. Sonnenberg Gardens and Mansion State Historic Park. And this is Haunted Garden Stroll with Judy Smith and Carl Nagler. And Judy, if you could, tell us a little bit about your organization and what you guys do there for our community.
Okay, I will. Sonnenberg is a state park, a state historic park, and the state helps us with some of the big things like tearing down the veranda and redoing all of that. But when it comes to the day-to-day daily operations, Sonnenberg itself has to come up with the money for the payroll, the insurance, all the maintenance. And it's a very expensive place with a 40-room mansion and a 50-acre area with 9 gardens and conservatories and all kinds of outbuildings. So we're always trying to find money somewhere. So we do a lot of fundraisers. So this is the 5th year that we've done this. It's a one-night deal. It's Sunday, October 29th from 6 to 8:30, and it's family-friendly. We try to keep the price down. It's $7 a person. Children 5 and under are free. So it's a pretty reasonable night. I don't think you can go to the movies for that anymore. And we have about 50 characters. It's a stroll, so people park in the main lot and then stroll through. And Carl, when he talks, he can tell you about all the goings-on. But it's a great fundraiser. There will be refreshments in the carriage house, and people don't touch you. People don't chase you. It's we don't have chainsaws, things like that. So, you know, it's spooky, it's scary, but I don't think kids will have nightmares from it. It's kind of a fun night. So we're hoping everybody can come. It's outdoors. It's about 3/4 of a mile walk, and you can take your time. We group people into groups of 8 or 10 and send them off, and, you know, try to keep them separated a little bit so there's a measure of surprise in there, so they're not all in one big line and see what's happening ahead of time. But it's a good night.
Anything happening in the mansion? I'm sorry, Tim.
For the first time, we are letting people into the mansion. They're coming in the handicap area where they'll be greeted with a butler. And the story goes that there's a General Winslow that's a true story. He and his wife were visiting Mrs. Thompson, and he died there. And so the story goes that General Winslow had died 2 weeks before, and his ghost won't leave, and that strange things are happening. Like, I think there's an elk that makes noise, and it's only his head hanging on the wall. And Mrs. Thompson will be there, a couple of maids, a butler, different things happening. They won't go through the whole mansion. They'll come in the handicap into the billiard room. They'll go through the great hall where they'll see different things and exit through the vestibule where there's a staircase and an elevator where things might be happening, and then back outside.
I was just going to say, you're having this Halloween event on the 29th, but there are stories that there's true hauntings or spiritual activity at Sonnenberg.
There
so I think
are.
That's kind of a nice tie-in.
I believe there are. I was in there alone one night, and lights kept going off and on, and I was terrified. And there's a lot of stories.
I've heard
of stories. But they're friendly. They've been there for years, and no one, you know, they're just there. It's a good place. I love Sonnenberg. I grew up a block from there. I snuck in all the time as a kid.
Didn't we all? You did too, right?
And got kicked out by the VA guards. And I said, now I finally figured out I volunteer. I can get in and I don't get kicked out anymore.
So
I love it and I want to keep it going. So we have to keep doing these fundraisers.
Judy, how long have you been involved with Sonnenberg as a volunteer?
As a volunteer, probably, 20 years.
That's incredible.
Yeah, because I was in when they had the old ones. I was a ghost. I was a witch. I've been all kinds of things over there. I've been a housekeeper. I've been on the board. I've been in charge of the events committee. I started 5 of the events myself. So I just was awarded the Mary Clark Thompson Award last week.
Congratulations
on that.
Thank you.
Judy, do you have a witch's war cry?
Yes, I do, my little pretty.
That's pretty good.
That
oh, my gosh.
Good. You made me jump.
I'm terrified.
Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Hour 2 of 3 Men and a Microphone, WOKR, Canandaigua, 1310, first in local news, right after these messages.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pros, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home. Used, pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.co.
Kim Shaggy the Chic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy to Chic Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim Shaggy to Chic Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy to Chic Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy Tashik Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shedless packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim Shaggy Tashik Pet Spa.